Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King. I just want to wish you the Lord's blessings this morning, and would like to speak some here on out of Matthew chapter 5. There's a lot of evil going on in this world today, a lot of sin, and sometimes I wonder what we as Americans are going to see yet with the uncertainty of our country here. Sometimes I wonder what we are going to see. It does seem that history has it that most countries have not been spared of some kind of revolution in a span of many years. Most countries will experience revolutions, and so we have been living pretty much the same for a couple hundred years now. But my desire this morning is not to put fear or gloom in anyone's heart. I'd just like to speak some on the nature of, or the purpose of that, and the good that can come out of it. I've spent several weeks in Iraq earlier this year, and there heard many stories of suffering that those people are suffering at the hands of Islamic extremists who are thinking that they are doing God a service, very similar to what the scripture says. And Jesus does not leave us without a remedy in those areas, if that is ever to happen, or if we ever find ourselves in a situation like that where someone is desiring to do us harm, or we find ourselves in a situation where someone wants to hurt us, either majorly or even just minorly, sometimes with words. Sometimes we can use the Word of God, or sometimes we can miss the principles of the Word of God by just thinking in our minds that they just apply to extreme cases. But many times we all here have situations in our own lives where we can apply these principles, and they are a universal principle. I did notice already that Jesus uses extreme measures, but I think that they can, in his parables, but I think that they can also be applied in more minor situations, say like, right in our own homes, in our neighborhood, as we relate to our neighbors, in our businesses, workplaces, in our marriage, for those of us that are married, and in relationships within the church, and so forth. One of the things that I felt that Lord showed me here recently is just a deeper understanding of this simple truth. Sometimes I think the Bible gets underestimated. The Bible is relatively short. I mean, people can read through the Bible in a few days, I would say, if they would just stick to it. Whereas the law of our land here is very exhaustive and just endless, and the reason for that is because the law of the land, they try to have a written explanation or a written way of handling every minute problem, because every problem is unique, every problem is different. It's almost like you have to have a solution for how to handle every little problem. But the Bible is more universal. In other words, the Bible teaches by principle and allows us to apply or interpret the application to our situation that we're facing. And that is about the Bible. The Bible is difficult to follow without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is, if we have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, or maybe even back up a little bit, if we have not been renewed, if we have not been born again, if we have not surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, we will have a difficult time understanding those principles in the Bible, and we will have a more difficult time applying the principles to our situations. That is why so many people, the Bible is a distant book, and the solutions are oftentimes not applied because we feel like the Bible is not relevant to our personal situation. I would just like to say this morning that the Bible includes the things written in the Bible are solutions to every minute problem that we face on a daily basis in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing to walk through something and all of a sudden realize that this is what Jesus meant, you know. And that those revelations are beautiful. It makes it seem like Jesus knew exactly what we're walking through. So if we look here at Matthew 5, I'm going to read here. You have Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him the two. Give to him that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? So it just goes on to say that if we treat only our friends and those that we like well, and then we're not, you know, it's just, there's not anything different from us than the rest of the world. But the thing I'd like to point out here is most times we think of justice as someone having to pay for the things that he done wrong. So for an example, and I do believe that this is a universal law that God operates in. In other words, it's very clear that God will punish those that do evil. That is very clear. And I believe if we turn to Romans 12, it's very clear there that God will punish those that do evil. And then it even goes on to say in Romans 13 that there are law enforcement out there to bring justice and to punish those that are doing evil. And so we do know that that is in the heart of God. But what I see here is God wants us to trust him to such an extent that we will leave that up to him personally. In other words, he does not want us to carry that out as believers. He does not want us to carry that out by ourselves. He wants us to stay clear of that, and he wants to take care of that personally. And the reason for that is he wants sinners and those that have the hope and those that are in bitterness, he wants them to see Jesus. He doesn't only want them to be taught about Jesus and preached about Jesus, but he wants them to see Jesus. And that's why, you know, Jesus is saying here that if you have heard that it has been said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, in the Old Testament law, whenever someone destroyed or damaged someone's eye, then their eye had to be destroyed and damaged as well. So what you have with every crime, you have two eyes that are destroyed. In other words, the first person's eye, the innocent person's eye, so to speak, and then the guilty person's eye, and they each lost an eye. And each have one good eye and each have one bad eye, those two people. And same way with the tooth, and you could apply it, you know, pretty much all the way down the line. And that is how justice was brought. In other words, that is what kept the people from just getting out of hand and doing things carelessly and not caring what they did, is because if they knew that they're going to have done to them the same thing that they did to others, it would hold them in check and make them think twice before they did something. And that is very logical thinking. But the other thing, the thing that I believe that Jesus is trying to point out here is that at that point, if that happens, the person still has not seen Jesus. In other words, most people, actually, if they're trained the way that the Bible teaches us to train our children, the Bible teaches us that if a child does something wrong, we need to, you know, in order to train our children, we need to discipline them. And the law operates that way. So most people naturally are raised thinking that if I do something wrong, something's going to happen to me. And that's so deeply ingrained in all of our makeup. And so the reason that this way works is because when we return good for evil, it appeals to the conscience of the offender, and it smites him in a way that nothing else will smite him. In other words, all the law enforcement is all external, and a person can harden his heart, and he can, you know, he can go around and injure people and harm people, and then be harmed himself as justice is brought to him, and all he has is more injuries on the outside. In other words, now all of a sudden he lost one eye, or he has a tooth missing, or he's in jail for 10 years, or, you know, but all that does is it brings a discipline to the outside. And what God wants is he wants us to be circumcised deep within us. He wants those walls that are around our hearts, he wants those to be broken and shattered. And the way that we do that is if you return good for evil, those walls are crumbled within a person. So now if a person takes out your eye, technically according to Scripture, what should you do? I believe that what the Scripture is saying, you should offer also your other eye. And that might seem unwise, but I believe if we really want to follow this teachings in scripture, I believe that is what we would do. Now, I would be convinced that most times what would happen is that you would hardly lose both eyes, because what happens is when you do that, that softens a person's heart. And the purpose for that is that God wants a person to be smitten from within. Many a times when people do that, those offenders are smitten, and they are disciplined in such a way that couldn't have been done with anything externally. My own testimony is that when I was living a life of sin, I was used to people responding to my wicked deeds with punishment. But once I met a person who did not respond that way, but responded in love, and that is when it broke me. That is when those walls within me came crashing down, and I met my Savior shortly thereafter. And so I do believe it is the way that Jesus both demonstrated as he went to the cross. He came and he paid the penalty for us. So if someone takes out our eye, that now makes them an offender, and that makes them a criminal. And so now who's going to pay for that crime? I think if we follow the example of Jesus, we would not make them pay, but we would offer to pay it ourselves. And so if another eye needs to be taken out in order to bring justice, I think what Jesus would have done is he would have offered his other eye as justice for the crime. And I do believe that even though if that were to literally happen, and we would sacrifice both our eyes in one situation, I do believe that the testimony that goes out or something like that would far outweigh the testimony of justice being done. And so I would just like to encourage us all this morning to consider the ways of Jesus in that area, and to consider allowing God to bring justice, because that is what he delights in. He delights if his children walk in the example of what he left for us. And even though some of these things are hard, I do believe is that we embrace these teachings in our hearts, that then when the time comes, when we are put to the test, I think that we can reach into whatever's in our heart will come out. So I think the best way to prepare ourselves for the uncertainty of the unknown future is to allow the principles of Christ to be deeply ingrained in us, and to believe them, and to ask God for the power to walk them out. So may the Lord bless you.